Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Boston Heads. I can't believe 2015 is almost over. My goodness, what a year in Boston. A lot of ups, a lot of downs, a lot of improvement. So much to talk about. But right now, I'll get into last night's fights. I was very entertained for the most part when Chris Pearson got his butt whooped, because the guy he lost to was actually in jail, and his story reminds me a lot of what Bernard Hopkins went through. The Randers Bartholomew fight, it was okay, but I wasn't, how do you say it, I wasn't as entertained with the main event. I was actually more entertained by a lot of the undercard fights. So, you know, it was an overall good, you know, display. And all I can say is I'm ready for tonight. But actually, let me see. He lost to a guy named Eric Walker. So, Eric Walker, hats off to you, bro. You got an amazing story. I'm so glad that you went from spending over a decade in prison to being on nationally TV. And it's like Randers Bartholomew said, that's the beauty of America. You could go from not being a nobody to being successful in life. It's all about how hard you want to work at it, just like we do when it comes to this boxing show. So, good morning, Nick. I don't know if you got to catch the fights, but it was some good fights. The last fight was boring. other than that, you know, I'm ready to talk about a whole bunch of other things, too.
You know, it's unfortunate. I was starting to watch the show, and then I had a situation that came up. So, but I did record it, so I'm gonna check that out this morning as soon as the show's as soon as we wrap up the show. But I did get to catch. Correct me if I'm wrong. I can't remember the name exactly, but it was Gigante or something like that. It was like they were saying it was the next Mayweather, and he fought this Mexican guy. I can't remember who it was, but. He was a smaller dude, and it was in Mayweather. He was one of Mayweather's guys from the Money Team, and they were saying he was the next Mayweather, and that Mayweather himself said he was the next Mayweather. And although he won the fight and everything, and although I respect Mayweather and I like him as a boxer and a businessman, I was disappointed in what I saw in the fighter himself, and it kind of makes me feel sad that, you know, there's people always building up and hyping up these young athletes that are coming in just because they have all this athleticism. And, you know, athleticism will get you pretty far. You know, it can. And athleticism is impressive. You know, quick reflexes, you know, being able to do things in there that ordinary fighters normally, you know, can't do. Or they're doing things that are, you know, really not taught normally by the books. And they say, oh, they're extraordinary fighters. They have extraordinary skills, definitely, like they said, the athleticism. But I'm starting to question whether or not these guys actually know anything about boxing, basic fundamentals. And I feel like a lot of them are just getting away with just this athleticism. And then when they find out that the athleticism alone isn't getting the job done, which is pretty much what I saw last night on this particular fighter, it's like they have nothing to fall back on. They don't catch a basic jab. They don't know how to throw a basic jab. They don't know when to use it. You know, they don't have their balance right. They don't have the, you know, proper defense. Or they don't know how to just go in there and smoke a dude out. Just walk him down, you know, cut the ring off properly, and get him out of there. This kid, I said, I wish I could remember his name, so I apologize. But he had all this cool athletic ability. He looked fancy in there, man. But they said he was smoking all these guys for the most part, knocking them out in the beginning of the rounds and a lot of his earlier fights. And he came up to this guy who it looked like it was slow as heck, didn't really have much skill. But the guy went almost the full 10 rounds with the kid. And it looked for a while during that fight that kid had no idea what was keeping this guy in this match or how to finish him. So, like I said, I just wanted to make that point to people. Was like, I'm kind of tired of the whole, like I said, athleticism is great and it's impressive, But, you know, let's not call him the next great thing yet. I mean, especially to me, if I have questions about whether or not they even know anything about basic boxing skills. And I think that's something that's really starting to happen and being overlooked is, okay, they got quick reflexes, they're able to do this and that, but when it comes down to it, they have nothing to fall back on. And that's, I think that's kind of the sad thing. So I hope coaches out there can start concentrating and implementing on their boxers the basic fundamentals and never lose sight of that, never stray too far from the path of the basic fundamentals and master those. And then you can go on and do all that fancy stuff. But that's all I saw was fancy stuff from this kid. So I think his name was Gervonta or something like that. But a quick little guy, you know, has some power, but I think he lacks a lot from what I saw just from that performance alone.
Yeah, his name was Gervonta something. He was out of Baltimore, actually.
Okay.
So he was, you got that part right. I'm trying to remember what his name was, too. But while I'm trying to remember his name, let's go ahead and talk about James Kirkland for a minute, because it's never a boring moment when we talk about James crazy-ass Kirkland. All right, so I'm a little late on this, but what I found out recently, that initially, Nick, James Kirkland was offered the fight versus Gabe Rosado that's going to now on the undercard of the Brian Jennings. As we know, before, James Kirkland decided to turn it down.
Okay.
And said what he always says, it's not enough money. All right. So let me get this straight real quick. James Kirkland made $1.3 million versus Canelo because he said he wasn't making enough initially. Before I even go forward, James Kirkland is so inactive, it's ridiculous for the demands he wants. I don't know who's in his ear. I don't know if he smokes when he's outside of the ring. I don't know what he does outside of the ring, but it's some stuff. But 50 Cent knew that the kickback from him fighting Canelo would be so big that he didn't care. He just gave Kirkland the $1.3 million for him to get his ass knocked out in three rounds. Now, what I also want to get across, Nick, is that Kirkland got $1.3 million. Lucas Matisse fought Victor Postol, has a way bigger fan base than Victor Postol, was the main event for something, and he got paid $500,000 less than James Kirkland. And this is a guy who stays active three, four, five, six times a year, and he has a bunch of loyal fans. So it's dumb as hell to me what is going on with James Kirkland. So now he's sitting there in Austin, Texas somewhere, and he's probably not going to get in a fight. HBO tries to keep him active because they care about him and they like him to see him successful because he has such a rough path. But honestly, with the money he made from the Canelo fight, if he was a smart person, which we know James doesn't make smart decisions, so he's probably going to be broke here soon. The money from the Canelo fight, if he put that away, he could live the rest of his life very comfortable just being a boxing trainer or something else like that. Because after the way he got knocked out, he really didn't honestly need to be in the ring. But we know he didn't do that. So HBO's trying to give him a chance to make some more money. And this guy turns around and says it's not enough money. So my thing is, you're getting more money than household name people who are on pay-per-view sometimes. So my thing is, what the hell does he expect people to pay him? And I don't understand what this guy's future is going to be. And you're turning down fights on HBO when there's millions of fighters that are fighting this life you didn't want to get on HBO. So I don't get it, Nick. I really don't get it.
Or he must, James Kirkland must think extremely highly of himself, which, you know, I mean, that's nice and that's great to have a good attitude about, you know, but I mean, like you said, man, it's ridiculous to, you know, especially after what happened with Canelo. We all saw that. That was probably one of the most devastating knockouts I think I've ever seen. And I was right there near ringside to watch that fight. And it was a horrible, almost like a massacre. And I thought James Kirkland's head popped off. And I'm telling you, the guy looked dead. So to them, and of course, you know, the inactivity and everything. He was a shooting star, and that's all he was. And again, you know me, I always like to say I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but I'm telling it like it is. This is what I'm seeing. He was a shooting star. He was a guy that we were all interested in back in the day, because he was kind of thought of as kind of a beast back then. And he was going through, and he never really had a lot of good defensive skills, but he was tough enough to where he was going through and out hustling everybody else in the ring, and eventually wearing people down and putting them out. But as we've seen, as he moved along in his career and he got into some stuff, legal trouble, and he tried coming back, I mean, we were noticing that some people with some decent boxing skills were giving him hell. And he's just not what he was, or what we maybe thought he once was. So I don't know what's going on with James Kirkland. I seriously think something's not right in his way of thinking. I don't think he's being reasonable. If I was him, I'd be taking any amount of money I can get right now. But apparently he must think he's okay, and he must find himself that he's in that position to make those kind of demands. But, you know, hey, man, just know I'm not going to be paying for no James Kirkland, and I wouldn't give the guy 2 cents. You know, I wouldn't walk down the street to go watch him fight anymore. So I'm definitely not going to be paying no big bucks. And, you know, but good luck, though. Good luck to James Kirkland. I don't know what he's going to do, but I think it's done, dude. As far as boxing goes, I think it's over, man.
I mean, it's just crazy. Like, this dude, like, HBO's trying to offer him a fight, and he talks a lot, says he wants $3 million. I mean, let me not cuss, because I almost said the F word, but I'm going to hold myself because we don't care. But who the hell is going to pay you $3 million to fight Gabe Rosado? And you're not even the main event. It's the guys who fight on pay-per-view as the main damn headliner, like Robert Guerrero or Andre Burrow, and they don't even make $3 million damn dollars. They ain't going to make $3 million when he fought Canelo on pay-per-view. I mean, come on, there's some people who fight. What's his name? Tim Bradley and Brandon Rios, who have way bigger fan bases than this guy, they didn't even get $3 million the first time they fought Manny Pacquiao on pay-per-view. Neither did Joshua Kalani. You might get more money after the sales go through, but they didn't even get this much damn money to fight. So what the hell is this dude talking about? He's going to fight on the undercard of a Jenny Ortiz thing, and you're going to make more than the headliner, and you're not even on pay-per-view, and you're asking for $3 million? Are you kidding me?
I tell you what, if he gets it, I want to know who his businessmen are, because, I mean, hell, I might have to hire them for myself. I mean, that would be amazing, but it's definitely out there, man. That's out there, and I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, because if that's the case, we can definitely tell his businessman, his business partner, we ain't coming on the air again until somebody give us $1 million.
Right.
If somebody that thing is crazy.
Exactly. Oh, man. Craziness, man.
And somebody was getting on Gabe Rosado saying, oh, Gabe Rosado needs to be chill. He just takes fights because people pay him $500,000 and he'll take big hits from Triple G and Peter Quillett and this guy and that guy and Danny Jacobs, and now he's getting in with Joshua Claudi. But you know what? We've never seen Gabe Rosado. He's had some skin problems and he's had some bleed problems, but we've never seen Gabe Rosado laid out on the damn ground like James Kirkland was. So,
right.
Therefore, I don't have a damn problem with Gabe Rosado taking these fights and stacking his money up, because you know what Gabe Rosado is? He's a gatekeeper. You know what else Gabe Rosado is? He's smart as hell, because he takes fights with the right amount of money, and he fights maybe once, maybe twice a year, and then if he loses, he stacks his money up. And in about 3 or 4 years, watch Gabe Rosado retire, and he'll be a good boxing trainer or somebody do boxing, just like his trainer is now, Fernando Vargas. Shout out to Fernando Vargas. I'm glad to see him involved in boxing, doing something that has something to do with boxing.
Right. And I want to add, too, that let me say this about Gabe Rosado. The guy, from a trainer standpoint as a coach, I would say that Gabe Rosado is more skilled in his boxing than James Kirkland. So that is also on top of that. You know, like I said, Gabe Rosado is – I've never actually seen him in a fight where I'm like, man, like you said, he's not beat up so bad where he's getting knocked out and you think to yourself he needs to retire. Now, other than scar tissue, I'm gonna tell you right now. I think Gabe Rosado could have had a much better career if he didn't have to worry about that. But you know, it's just an unfortunate thing for him. But the guy had boxing skills, man, and it's just a shame. It's a shame that he had to go have those issues with his facial tissue. And even the guys he lost to, his bigger name fighters that he fought. I mean, he gave him a pretty good fight. You know, I can't say nothing bad about that kid. I said, hopefully, you know, like I said, I wish he didn't have that issue that he had. And I think he could have gone a little further in his career. But all in all, he's a good fighter.
Yeah, it's a mess, man. It's an absolute mess. It's crazy. It's nuts. It doesn't make sense to me. But hats off to Gabe Rosado for getting in the ring. Him versus Joshua Clowney will be a good one. And the other person on the undercard, I'm just going to go ahead and leave the floor to Nick because this is one of his favorite fighters. And I want to go ahead and let you talk about what you think about Nicholas Walters and what you think he should do tonight to keep elevating himself since he's moved up in weight for this fight.
Okay. Well, Nicholas Walters, you know, I am super excited about watching him, man. I mean, and right now, I mean, I feel like I haven't seen the guy in forever. And like, and I don't know if that's just me or if it's just one. I'm so excited to see somebody, you know, at any amount of time makes it feel like a long time. It's kind of like waiting on Christmas, you know, you just, like, it's never going to get here. But Nicholas Walters, he's already considered a pretty big size, you know, has a pretty good frame. He can already put on the weight. So I don't see really moving up in weight being too much of an issue for him. In fact, I think he'll be just fine. I mean, the guy's got he's strong, number one. He has the athletic body as well, too. So, he he's not going to come in looking a little, you know, flabby or around the waist or anything like that. He's not going to come in looking soft. The guy can hold the weight. He's very strong, very muscular, and also very really sharp and powerful with his shots, too, man. I mean, so I think he's not going to have any problem. I'm excited to see him. I think as long as he keeps doing what he's doing, and I'll tell you right, I would really have to dig in to the nitty-gritty and really sit down to look at the details of the fight in order to find out what I would probably change about him. But because as of right now, just based on his past performances and you know, from what I've seen, he really doesn't have a whole lot to work on. I think the guy's a monster, man. And I think he's got, from a skill standpoint, I think he's got good skills. So until somebody really, you know, puts him in a tough fight where he's being tested, let me clarify this too. Don't get me wrong. It's like I tell people too, is just because you got all these skills doesn't mean you won't have hard fights either, you know, because I have a lot of students and clients and stuff could come to me and say, well, what if the guy does this or what if I block, you tell me to block this, but what if he hits me with this? I tell people all the time, I'm like, look, I could teach you all the best stuff in the world, all the skills, but you know, sometimes it also comes down to, you know, what can you do and what can, you know, your opponent do? How good is he? I mean, if Nicholas Walters has a little problems here and there in these fights that people point out, that's fine. That's going to happen. I mean, you could be, I mean, hell, even Floyd Mayweather, you know, here we go with another example of that. One of the greatest defensive fighters I've ever seen, but we've seen him get caught. So, you know, things happen. We've also seen him, you know, miss shots. So you make mistakes in there. The thing is, as long as you don't have bad habits, that's really, you know, it's better that you don't have the habits. Let's put it that way. I haven't really seen any bad habits from Nicholas Walters as of yet. The little bit of trouble that I have seen him get in, is, I think it was legitimate. You know, he made a couple mistakes, and he was fighting against guys who also looked like they had pretty good skills themselves. So I'm really excited about Nicholas Walters. I can't wait to see what happens and to see where he goes from here. And I think as long as he keeps doing what he's doing, right now he is in the okay, and he's going to keep doing big things.
All right, well said by the Nicholas Walters fan himself, or the future trainer of Nicholas Walters. Anyway, we're going to go on to Ortiz Jennings. And Ortiz seems serious. He seems tough, but that's the same thing the last guy who was an undefeated Cuban said to Jennings. I got my guy from Philly Jennings, I got him knocking this guy out in the eighth round. I really think Jennings is going to go in there, no BS this time, just go ahead and flatline this dude. And then after that, I'll go ahead and talk about the purse bid that I talked about last week when it came to the whole situation with Wilder, Glasskov, and what's the other guy's name that people said Wilder's? I can't think of his name, but it was basically Al Heyman handled his business at the purse bid. So one of these two guys is going to eventually have to fight Deontay Wilder. But I'll let you go ahead and pick Ortiz or Jennings.
Well, I think I'm going to go ahead and go with you on this one, Corey. I like Jennings in this particular fight, and only because I enjoyed actually one of the last fights I've seen him in with Klitschko. Actually, I kind of like the way he handled himself for the most part, you know. And I've always thought Brian Jennings had some decent skills, and he's athletic, and I think that he can put Ortiz away, like you said. I've seen Ortiz, in past fights that he just didn't It's kind of hard to say. He's kind of like a big guy with, some decent reflexes, I guess you could say. He's got some boxing skill, but I've seen him in trouble a lot. And I've seen him where he looks not always on the up and up in some of these past fights. So I think just based on that, and, because I'm not a big on the heavyweight, so I don't, really dive, too deep into, really examining them. But just based off those couple of performances that I've seen of each one in their past fights, I would have to say that Jennings can take this fight, and I'm not that impressed with Ortiz, nor have I ever been. That's an easy pick. I think Jennings is going to win this fight, and like you said, I do believe he can knock him out if he goes for it, and just doesn't get just doesn't get careless in there. And that seems to be the main problem with most people, is that they do well and they get careless, and then the fight ends up getting made a difficult fight when it doesn't have to be. But I got Jennings winning this fight.
All right. As I said last week, the purse bid situation on the two guys who were supposed to fight Deontay Wilder, but they backed out because I told you they were trying to get the easy route to the IBF since the IBF was stripped from Tyson Fury because of his controversial comments. And what I'm going to say about that is that when Tyson Fury was stripped, Glasskov saw a easy way to it, and so did Martin. So the only other people who bidded on the purse bid for the IBF title was Main Events, which is Sergey Kovalev's promotional company. They bid $888,000, and Al Heyman easily won because he bid over $1 million. So I don't have to tell anybody exactly what he bid. You can go to Boxing Scene or ESPN, and it'll tell you he bid over $1 million and he won the purse bid easily, which is something I brought up last week's show, and I laughed about it and said, well, I would love to see anybody try and outbid Al Heyman for the purse bid. And it shows promoters and managers what happens when you're not greedy. When you're not greedy and you're not selfish and you don't want to just dump the fan upside down or your boxer upside down, you have more money in the long run. And that's why Al Heyman has more money in the long run, because he has 10, 12, 13 significant fighters that you are going to turn on TV to watch. And a lot of these other people have three or four, and they always try and mix and match those three or four or get some random bum in there to fight the three or four guys, and they become overused, and then they want to take other people to court rather than putting on their own display. So instead of hating on PBC, I would like to see some of these other promoters say, let's have the Golden Boy tournament or something like that. But be creative. Mm-hmm. Stop being jealous. Learn how to be creative before you learn how to be jealous. Learn how to give the fans something for free, because that's how you build loyalty. Because what happened is you'll gain fans by what Al Heyman's doing and having Premier Boxing Champions on regular TV, because then when you switch Premier Boxing Champions over to Showtime only, you're going to have a crap load of subscriptions.
Right.
Now,
right.
I'm going to go from there straight into my awards of the year. And right now, I want to say straight off the top, my fighter of the year is Tim Bradley. Tim Bradley has had one hell of a year because I know him and Joe Ortiz fell out, but the way Bradley fought against Rios, Rios fought scared to death. And Rios even said out of his mouth that he couldn't believe how hard he was hitting, how fast he was coming. When I heard that speech by Teddy Atlas after the seventh round, I said, oh, my God. And Tim KO'd Brandon Rios, something that Manny Pacquiao couldn't even do, which is why I think some people are wanting him to get back in the ring with Manny, but that's another story. I don't want to see Pacquiao Bradley 3. And another thing about Manny, while we're on the subject, there were some reports that Manny Pacquiao advisor actually said Adrian Broner was is one of the people that Manny Pacquiao is willing to fight. Now, that's a fight I would be willing to pay to see. Because no matter who wins, Pacquiao will probably win. It will be entertaining, and Adrian will promote the hell out of the fight. And it'll be for a world title. So that would be something that I think would do just as good a pay-per-view numbers as Canelo Cotto did, just because of Adrian Broner's jackass attitude and Manny Pacquiao's huge following. So that would do actually pretty good damn pay-per-view numbers. And I wouldn't mind seeing that. But what everybody is saying behind the scenes, Nick, is that Manny wouldn't mind fighting him, but what Bob Arum really wants is Manny to fight Crawford, because guess what that does for Crawford? Well, guess what that does for Bob Arum? That builds one of his new cash cows up, because when Manny retires, his new cash cows are going to be Timothy Bradley or Terrence Crawford. Now, I will say this about Bob Arum. Bob Arum gets on my damn nerves with some of the pay stuff he does, but he does pay his cash cows. He pays Terrence Crawford over $1 million every fight, and he pays Tim Bradley over $1 million every fight. So he does take care of his guys that bring him in money. I will give Bob Arum that credit. So, back to my Fighter of the Year award. Did you want to ask you, before I go back to that, do you want to elaborate on that at all, Nick, about Broner versus Pacquiao?
Yeah, you know, I'll go ahead and throw my two cents in on that. I think what you said is, you know, pretty much for the most part covers the way I feel as well. I actually just saw this news too just the other day in an article, and when it came up, you know, of course, a part of me was like, oh, okay, come on, you know, you can't pick somebody else. But at the same time, for the reasons like you just said, you know, I kind of almost, you know, in that same moment started to come up with all these reasons why I would, you know, like to tune in and watch that fight. I do think, like I said, it would be a pretty neat little thing because, as you stated, Broner has that haters club following, you know, and people want to see him get beat up or get, you know, get devastated again, you know, because they just enjoy it, that because of his attitude. And like you said, he'll promote the heck out of it because he's going to talk trash and he's going to say he's going to do this and do that. And he does put on a show. I mean, I'll say that. He does put on a weird, you know, these little crazy antics he does in the ring. So it's definitely be fun. And, of course, with like you said, with Manny's following and it being supposedly his last fight and things like that, I think it'd be interesting. And there's probably still people out there who look at Broner as him and still, you know, Mayweather still having that somewhat connection, being similar. So they would probably almost look at this as, you know, a victory for Pacquiao somewhat over Mayweather in some kind of weird way. But at this point, too, just to mention this, I don't really care who Pacquiao fights now. I'm already kind of – I just – like you said, you know, we talked about it last show. I just hope they pick somebody so we can check it out and just be done with it. I want to wash my hands of it and be done. But definitely – but not, I don't think he's the best opponent to have, but I think it would be a good promotional showing. And at least, you know, like I said, we can get this out in there and done with and just give me an opponent for Pacquiao. That's all. Just let's get it and move on.